from the consent of the governed. This is the America News Network.
He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 10 through 13.
We're talking today with Tom Phillips, founder of The Green Herb. Tom, what makes The Green Herb different?
First is our health analysis. I know of no other company that will take the time necessary to suggest an in-depth herbal program especially for you. And we do it at no charge or obligation. Also, we manufacture all of our products right in the Wheat Ridge facilities. This way we can assure you that you're getting the highest quality products available. Last is our guarantee. If you don't think our products are the finest, most potent herbal products available, just return the bottle and we'll exchange it or refund your purchase price. We can do the analysis at The Green Herb, over the phone, or online at www.thegreenherb.com. Call today and set an appointment for your free health profile at 888-765-HERB. That's 888-765-4372. Or come by our store on the north side of I-70 Frontage Road, 1 mile west of Kipling.
American Freedom Network, and our guest this morning, Joel Skousen of World Affairs Brief, ordinarily with us every Friday morning. I can tell it's Friday because Joel's here. Good morning, Joel.
Thank you, Dr. Stan. Good to be with you.
Well, what are the latest things we're going to be talking about this morning?
Well, of course, other than the scandal of the Illinois governor, Brad Blagojevich, it's a real scandal. It's so embarrassing for the state of Illinois to have their governor and chief of staff arrested, with the FBI having tape recorded, conversations of not only trying to sell the Senate seat for various tips and favors, but virtually every contract, large contract going out in the state of Illinois had a hook attached to it. You give some campaign contributions, you give my wife a job, put her on your board, or do various things, and you get the contract. This really isn't as exceptional as people are led to believe by this arrest. It's actually been going on in New York State and New York City for many, many years, though the city does clean up from time to time. It's been going on in Chicago for centuries, and Los Angeles, every major metropolis has its corruption. Every major metropolis, in the opinion of my uncle, W. Clinton Skousen, who is police chief of Salt Lake City, has a corrupt police chief, because every major metropolis has these systematic crimes of gambling and prostitution, and they are protected, as well as often the drug trade, protected by our own government. Obviously, they have to fight crime, they have to fight a little bit of prostitution, but it's mostly done for show, just like the government war on drugs is for show. So this isn't really surprising, Dr. Stan. It's a sad commentary, as one writer in the Rights Officer Commentaries said, Miss Monk, M-O-N-K, we're in the last days of a free republic. This is how empires die, through corruption. And, they don't die from economic collapse. What they do die is from being conquered. And in this particular case, I believe we're in the last decade of the free republic. I think our own globalist leaders are setting us up for a third world war, where we will purposely lose our sovereignty to a globalist new world order. This is going to be very sad. So, at this Christmas time, even though that's a very somber message, I think we have to really thank our blessings, what we've had in this country. We ought to make serious preparations, because if we have as much time as I think we do, it's enough to prepare and it's enough to survive. But we're not going to prosper after the tail end of this. In my opinion, it's going to be Christians and conservatives banning together, to banding together to for mutual support and defense, and having to avoid some of the terrible social unrest that will certainly follow a major cataclysmic war that will have nuclear weapons involved. And I'm very sad to say I think it will be worse than World War II in Europe and in certain areas of the United States, especially where the big cities are.
Well, I'll never forget, you know, touring many of the major cities in Europe after the Second World War. I was assigned there as a medical officer and seeing, you know, just the rubble of this great city of Mainz or Cologne. Only thing in Cologne that was still standing was the cathedral in the center of the town, and everything else, of course, was rubble, except, of course, around the periphery where the American factories were that had been producing the war materials for Adolf Hitler, and they were allowed to remain intact. But go right ahead.
Well, you know, and so much of that civilian damage was unnecessary.
Of course.
You know, it was a purposeful campaign, a scorched earth campaign of the destruction of civilian populations. I remember one bomber pilot saying that the radio controller had told him to seek out you know, the dark areas, which were the residential areas that were blacked out so that they wouldn't get bombed, and that they had loaded their airplanes with incendiary bombs meant to cause the firestorm at Dresden. And this was a purposeful campaign of genocide. And, you know, a lot of people think, well, Hitler started it with his London bombings, but that really isn't true. In fact, Hitler had a policy, we know now, of not bombing England. He always held up hope that England would join him in creating a great world empire. You know, they had globalist aspirations even then. And so it was strictly verboten, you know, to bomb London until Churchill decided, well, I've got to get, you know, Hitler to do some terrible acts so they can justify getting the U.S. into the war. And so he went and firebombed cities in the Ruhr of the industrial area of Germany. And when that happened, then Hitler said, all right, let's bomb London. But it wasn't until Churchill went out of his way to bomb civilian targets in the Ruhr of Germany that Hitler attacked London. So, you know, history isn't ever really how it really happened. Sure, the general events are there, but the causes are almost all falsified. They're almost always hidden. And so it is in my main message of the economy. I'm talking about why the bailout isn't working. This is not a bailout of Main Street. This is not a bailout of solvent banks. This is a bailout of the very evil, greedy investment banks that created this mess, that created all these derivatives. You know, derivatives are simply a Ponzi scheme, just like it was on the news as we were waiting to get into our interview today. Here, the former chairman of the, NASDAQ stock exchange involved in an utter scam of creating an entire hedge fund with millions of dollars, and there's nothing there to get back because it's all disappeared. But in reality, Dr. Stan, almost everything that's done on margins is that kind of a scam. There's no money backing up margin calls. It's true that a bank or a stock exchange or whoever it is puts their name on the line, but they don't have the money to back up those margin calls. If the person doesn't, you know, they make a margin call to the person who placed the bets, and margin calls, of course, are leveraged or puts calls or leveraged buys in the stock market. They can be options and many other things, and they only have to put 5 to 10% down, and somebody else is supposed to put the rest of the money up. But they don't put the money up. They just say, we guarantee it. But they don't have the funds to guarantee all these margin calls any more than those that wrote all these derivatives. Almost $500 trillion in derivatives. It just dwarfs this economy, Dr. Stan, and there's no money there.
We'll be back in just a minute with Joel Skelton right here. The American Freedom Network.
Heart. Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305. Or hbextract.com.
We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, to ordain and establish this Constitution.
There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 6 through 9.
Well, that's Dan here at the American Freedom Network. Our guest is Joel Skousen, and Joel, you pick up the story.
Well, we're talking about why the bailout isn't working. It's simply a matter of economies of scale. It's a combination of the Federal Reserve, which has created trillions of dollars and spread it around the world. They originally got the world to accept dollars because they were backed by gold, literally had gold certificates. You could trade the dollar in for gold if the government started to inflate too much, and that was the check on the government's inflationary powers. And sure enough, in the 70s, with all the inflation that was created, France started to trade all their dollars in for gold, and it was emptying the gold deposits out of the U.S. Treasury. And so Nixon took us off the gold window, and that ended the restraint of government. And, you know, a lot of people, even the monetarists, think that as long as you expand the money supply to match the growth of the economy, that everything's equal. And while that's true in the sense that price inflation will tend to rise at 3 or 4% depending on what your growth rate is when you match that, it's still watering down the existing money that people have. I don't believe that the monetarist position is a principled position. I think essentially what you do is, as productivity increases, the prices become cheaper if there's no inflation, and the dollar becomes more valuable. And that's the way it really should be. Now, it's true that there is a problem that the rest of the world is inflating their currency, and their currency has become less valuable. Then certainly it will become difficult to export American products. But nevertheless, even that's their problem, that they can't buy American products. Nevertheless, the point is that it still is cheaper for Americans to live because the prices continue to decline inside the country, and it becomes a haven for wealth. And so investment does tend to flow into the country, and eventually other countries have to toe the mark because they have to pay more. If America would become technologically superior again, as they always have been, you know, heretofore, in combination with the strong dollar, it would attract further and further investment and still becomes the powerhouse of the world. But that, of course, requires morality. I think what happens is our technical progress, Dr. Stan, has outstripped our ability to be a moral people. And that's because we've forgotten God. Even those that consider themselves religious have forgotten God to many respects. You know, I note, for example, in my community, and I'm sure you note in yours, that if you look at the various schoolyards during Sundays, you'll see Latinos, who are mostly from a Catholic culture, all playing soccer on Sunday, and nobody goes to church, and you think, you know, what a shame. With all the potential leadership the Catholic Church has about influencing people, they don't preach the doctrine of keeping the Sabbath day holy. And I don't mean to get up on a religious soapbox, but this does have consequences ultimately to a nation. You lose the blessings of the Lord, protection. A people do not have the spirit of discernment. When they selectively listen to conscience on worldly things, but they don't want to listen to conscience on religious and spiritual things, I think they lose the sensitivity to truth that would warn them of the things that have gone on today, that would warn them of wolves in sheep's clothing, like John McCain running as a conservative, George Bush being a Christian and a conservative. Those are wolves in sheep's clothing, and most Christians, unfortunately, do not have sufficient discernment to tell that they are being deceived.
And I believe that discernment does come from the Lord. And if you're not following the Lord, you're not going to be discerning.
Absolutely. And even though it tends to come in our own grammar and our own words, that's the way the Lord is of hiding behind our minds so that it's not obvious that he's speaking to us, but he is. And sensitive people can discern when they're getting inspiration and when they're simply thinking themselves. And but it's part of the whole process of the nation slowly going down, and that's why I despair at times at the inability of people to sense that something's wrong, because it's very difficult for you and I to reach people when they don't sense that something's wrong, when they look askance at any theories that there are major conspiracies going, even though the media loves to denigrate that above all other topics. Nevertheless, nothing could change in this country until we understand that there is a conspiracy to take down our liberty and a conspiracy to do corruption on a huge scale, and that's what's happening to this economy. I mean, Governor Blagojevich is just a symptom of something that's been going on for many, many years in Illinois. And it isn't that wealth always corrupts. There have been good, wealthy people and still remain some good, wealthy people in this nation, but it seems like when anyone gets into bed at government at the highest levels, and believe me, this is an incestuous relationship between all of the investment houses, the reason they call, you know, put Gaethner in, and whether it's in a Democratic regime or Henry Paulson or any of the other chairmen of the Fed, these people are insiders who are just as guilty of all the rest for covering up the fact that these people have done fraudulent banking. This isn't a matter of nitpicking regulation. This is a matter of no regulations against fraud. I mean, to create derivatives, to create insurance policies, which what derivatives are, that bets, gambles, and you guarantee that you're going to pay off those and you don't have any reserves to do so. I mean, this is a Ponzi scheme. These people are every bit as guilty as the head of the NASDAQ who was just indicted today.
Well, of course, the man who was really responsible for, you know, the fact that there were no reserves required for derivatives was a man named Henry Paulson, who in 2004 led a delegation of bankers to Washington, D.C. and lobbied the SEC and convinced the SEC that you ought to be able to write insurance policies, derivatives, without adequate reserves. And he, you know, they got away with it. They actually changed the rules and regulations, and that is one of the core reasons why we're in trouble today. And now we're giving Henry Paulson, the man who created the problem in large part, or at least a significant part of it, you know, $700 billion to solve the problem? How ridiculous can you be?
Yes, I mean, it is a an extension of the same Ponzi scheme. And who has he bailed out? His friends.
Right.
This money has all gone to the major banks. And as I pointed out, there was this leak from J.P. Morgan that they said, we're not going to loan this money out. We're going to husband this money. We're going to save this up so that we can buy up distressed banks and increase our position in the market. And then you look at Citigroup. Citigroup, of course, has got a huge bailout from the government. What are they doing? They're investing $3.6 billion in buying up debt from the Spanish toll road company that has gone around in a globalist scheme to buy up toll roads around the world. They were even bidding on a toll road here in the United States, and that's what Citigroup is going to invest in. But this is basically one globalist corporation buying out another Globus corporation. Citigroup has banking facilities in every country in the world. It's the largest bank in the world, too big to fail, as I say. But in fact, they simply destroyed their own bank by taking people's good deposit money and leveraging it into the derivatives industry till they were insolvent. And these companies should have gone under and been penalized. None. I mean, virtually, this is one of the problems that has been taken advantage of in our country is corporate law, where you have a shield from your personal wealth when you engage in corporate crimes. You know, there is a legitimate reason to have corporation law in the country, and that is that very few people would ever invest in a large, arm's-length corporation where they don't have direct control. They would not invest in these huge corporations if, in fact, they were personally liable. You just couldn't get people to invest in anything except that which they could closely manage. You'd never have any large corporations that had the power to build huge infrastructure things without that. So there is a legitimate role for having corporate protection, but I would say that there should be no liability for those that make major errors. That they, in other words, it ought to be a combination of the little guys who simply do not have any way of controlling, except even by pooling together majority rules. They ought to have that liability. But the big boys who are getting the big compensation, who really do understand, even though they're employees of the corporation, they ought to be liable. And we ought to be able to go back and tap. They ought to have bonds that they put up, fiduciary bonds, and then we ought to be able to go back against them and collect these millions that they have gained in compensation. Because believe me, all this money went somewhere. It went into the speculative economy. It's been churning and gambling, and a lot of it's still sitting in those companies, by the way. It's there in liability accounts that they owe to those executives, and those liabilities are part of the bailout. Part of the bailout is going to pay off those executive compensation liability accounts, and a lot of people don't realize that. That's why, Dr. Stant, that is the reason why this money is not getting out into the economy. Now, even if it were, and I have to say, that loans, by the way, have not stopped. You know, a lot of people saying, well, loans have dried up. But in fact, one economic writer said in virtually every category, there is still some loan growth in this country. Not only in autos, not only in houses. In other words, it isn't that they aren't making loans still. It's that there's no increase in growth in the loans. The loans are shrinking, but they're still in positive territory. And so what we're getting back to in this is a real economy built not so much on debt as it was before, but a real economy built on what people can afford. And that's the reason it's shrinking so much. People don't need to go out and buy a new car. They can't afford it until they can save up some money. And this economy now is forcing people to save, forcing people to stop spending. And this is healthy for the economy, Dr. Stan.
Oh, I agree with you totally.
It should have been going. For many years, this is very healthy for the economy. In fact, if it weren't for this bailout, if it weren't for the inflation that is occurring, you could have let all of these major investment banks fall, and the regular economy would have still been moving along. Because most of the banks of the nations are not in bad shape like these big ones are. It's the big banks that are a problem. They're the 800-pound cement bag that's trying to pull the nation down. And we're not helping this country by funneling more money after that. And it's the same thing with the automobile bailout. These companies are insolvent. These countries have been living on debt, burning cash for years. There's no way they can be solvent with these union contracts. I mean, I gave an example in today's World Affairs Brief that is coming out. Over $2,000 out of every vehicle produced by the big three automobile makers goes to pay off pensions and retirements for things that have been gained for people who worked for these companies years ago. These are very generous retirement benefits at almost 80% of their salaries. And the average auto worker salary gets between $75 minimum and $125 an hour in wages and benefits. Even when he's not working, the unions negotiated these mandated job banks. A job bank is basic basically where the company is supposed to bankroll money so that they pay full salary and benefits for everyone who's where they don't have any work for them to do. They can't, in fact, fire them. They sit around shooting the bull and reading magazines and collecting full salary and benefits because they're on Job Bank. You know, with these kinds of cost burdens, there's no way that they can compete with Japanese and German cars, even those built in the United States, because those new companies are built here without union labor. Now, auto union boss Ron Gettelfinger is lobbying just as hard for these bailouts as management because he knows that without it, his labor union is finished.
And well, maybe if they just went into bankruptcy, they could get out from underneath those pretty oppressive contracts, and they never should have signed them in the first place. But I think what people really don't understand is General Motors is moving its base overseas into China. They're opening a new factory in Russia. They're opening new factories in Brazil. And isn't it interesting when we talk about the bailout and how important it is to bail out General Motors here, that they're shifting their operating base overseas, and we never talk about that in the United States.
Yeah, that's really should be front and center, of course. Yes, a bankruptcy judge would slash those contracts. But, you know, part of the problem is that we allow in this country unions to have collective bargaining rights. And what that really means is that they force the employer to bargain with them once there is a union and that they cannot be fired.
Right.
You know, an employer, there's nothing wrong with people banding together to have a union, but it must be voluntary. An employer is free to simply fire people. In other words, you can't fire everybody, so there is some leverage that they have.
We'll be back in just a moment with Joel Skousen here at the American Freedom Network.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Bill of Rights, Article 1. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of a religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Article 2. A well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms, shall not be infringed.
There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 6 through 9. If you enjoy alternative stations on the radio, shouldn't your TV service provide the same choices? You can get more channels than you have now, plus many more Christian and family programs in crystal clear 100% digital picture and sound, and the price is significantly lower than cable. Just call Rocky Mountain Satellite at 970-443-7375. Already enjoying satellite TV but want a lower price? We can help you too. Packages start at only $19.99 a month. Call 970-443-7375. DVRs and high definition also available.
Globe. The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots, biblically-based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat and Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom, good Sabbath.
Well, Dr. Dan Peck here. Our guest this morning, Joel Skousen from World Affairs Brief. And before we go on, Joel, can you tell our listeners how they can get in touch with you, get in touch with your organization, and perhaps even subscribe to your publication?
Thank you, Dr. Stan. The World Affairs Brief is showcased on my website, which is www.worldaffairsbrief.com. And people can get a free sample of the World Affairs Brief by emailing me at editor@worldaffairsbrief.com. There is a modest subscription price for the World Affairs Brief, but it's very reasonable. And I encourage people to subscribe and support my work just as they do yours. Also, there's lots of free material on that website, lots of archival material. One of my specialties is talking about government cover-ups. Cover-ups are the best evidence of people in high position engaging in conspiracy, and there's so many cover-ups, everything from the JFK assassination. All the major assassinations have been government operations, and then there's the false flag operations like Oklahoma City bombing and 9/11, which I analyze in great detail on my website. So I encourage everyone to go to worldaffairsbrief.com.
Very good. And I certainly encourage people to go there, get the information, as I do every morning, and certainly read through the World Affairs Brief every week when it comes out. Go right ahead, Joel.
Well, you know, some are arguing that you can't not bail out these big banks. They're just cause too much harm if they fail. That it's cheaper to, and the same thing with the auto industry, it's cheaper to bail out these corporations than suffer all the loss of unemployment to the economy, which would add a million jobs to the rolls of the unemployed. I'm sorry, but that just isn't going to wash. The bailout won't be cheaper because the compromise amount the Democrats are proposing is just the beginning. It's going to be a constant sinkhole that you sink money into. And you're talking about government or taxpayers having ownership in corporations. We're moving into full socialism now, Dr. Stan.
Absolutely.
Ownership of banks, ownership of corporations, and the government is certainly not in a position to be running these companies. You talk about an auto czar. You know, what's worse than having three major CEOs that have made bad decisions all these years, and now you're going to have one major CEO that's going to have intervention powers to tell them how to run their company? I mean, this is just ludicrous. This will be a political appointee.
Well, you cannot certainly give the people who created the problem the ability to try to correct the problem, because they're not going to be able to. I mean, they're part of the problem. What we need to do is get away from government regulations. We need to get back to a free enterprise system. But we've got to have the government stop giving special privileges to one group over another. This is the big problem.
Well, we need a more carefully defined regulation. I mean, regulation isn't always just the same as regulation. In other words, there is appropriate regulation and there is inappropriate regulation. The regulation that is appropriate are laws against fraud and enforcement of those laws against fraud. And fraud is offering promises to pay that you cannot pay.
Right.
And that's what is driving this entire economy. People need to understand that to a certain extent, you know, this is what banking always has engaged in, is a promise. You take they take your deposits, and you expect that deposit money is in the bank. In fact, it isn't the bank. That money has to be loaned out to other people to make a profit for the bank so that they can keep your money for you without charging you anything for it. Now, if the money truly was in a depository institution where it wasn't used, then where it was 100% safe with 100% reserves, they'd have to charge you money for storing your money in the safety of the bank. And the fact that they pay you money, not very much, but, you know, even something means that they have to loan that out. And while I think that that's an appropriate contractual thing, if you understand that and if you know that your money isn't there, and that's the way it used to be with in the old days of It's a Wonderful Life. Remember that story of the savings?
Jimmy Stewart, oh, yeah.
Right, and it was a very good point. He says, your money isn't here in the bank. Your money's in Joe's house, and your money's in Bob's house. And, you know, but there is a fiduciary responsibility to make conservative, solid loans and to make them in investments that have residual value should that can be foreclosed upon. And that's why houses have traditionally been a fairly good, safe investment, conservative investment, because the value was still there in the house. And the value is there in the house, of course, only if you, the bank, can foreclose and resell the house. When you create a housing bubble, as they did, through offering too many people who could not afford to be buying house homes, now there's a glut of homes on the market, and the banks cannot recoup their money because there are not sufficient buyers who can qualify. And so this is just going to have to work its way out of the system. It's very interesting that I found the information that they've now tracked that since this implementation of this program where they're reducing the mortgage rates for people who qualify so that they can keep their mortgages, these are the people with the high value ARM rates, fully 50% of these who have been given a lower rate to stave off bankruptcy, 50% are still, 60 days in arrears, so that they're heading for bankruptcy even still with these rates. So this shows that these people really did not have sufficient earning power to justify getting into a home. Probably the worst thing has been not requiring any down payment to get into a home, just based upon your financial earning capability, because no matter what your job is, we know now that even big six-figure jobs at, in Wall Street aren't safe if the bubble breaks. And a lot of people's jobs are being lost. We're probably entering the stage where we're losing a million jobs a year, realistically. And so all of this is having a reverse cascade, a reverse multiplier effect on the economy. And the less people that have jobs, the less people have to spend at Christmas time, and then more clerks get laid off, and more stores go bankrupt. And one of the reasons why so many of these stores are in danger of going bankrupt is that they built all of these stores with debt, and as long as they could service the debt, they felt like they'd still make a little bit of a profit, we're fine. But as I say, when the market, the gross sales margin drops 10, 20, 30%, you suddenly have lost your profit margin, and then you're starting to dig in, and you don't have the money to pay and service the debt. And so this is just incredible way to, and a lot of people don't realize it, that a lot of our largest corporations live in this kind of a debt structure, and they are at risk of going under. And I'm afraid now with the auto bailout, which is surely coming, and nobody, even though Senator John Ensign of Nevada is leading a filibuster to try to stop this bailout, I think the handwriting's on the wall. The Democrats have the majority, and I think they're going to bail it out, and who can you say no to? And this is just a massive recipe to increase the amount of social legislation, socialism within the country, and it's just, I just don't know where this is going to end, but it is the end of an empire, and we're seeing probably the last decade of real prosperity ever.
I fear you're absolutely right, and if this country doesn't get back to God, and if we don't get back to sound finances, why, the freedom that we've known in the past will simply become a remembrance of things past. We'll be right back with Joel Scott.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305. Or hbextract.com.
In all criminal prosecutions, the accused shall enjoy the right to a speedy and public trial by an impartial jury of the state and district wherein the crime shall have been committed, which district shall have been previously ascertained by law, and to be informed of the nature and cause of the accusation, to be confronted with the witnesses against him, to have compulsory process for obtaining witnesses in his favor, and to have the assistance of counsel for his defense. Article 6 of the Bill of Rights.
He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 10 through 13.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the American Freedom Network, our guest this morning, Joel Skousen. Joel, last segment, why don't you go right ahead?
Well, I thought with some of the discouraging things we've talked about, maybe we ought to have an informal discussion here, departing even from my brief that's coming out today on what are the prospects of being able to do anything about this, and how does one prepare for the fall of this empire. You know, this American nation has existed over 200 years. Very few empires last that long because of corruption, and I think because of the great sound basis that we had in our divinely inspired constitution and the basis of our religious people that we have survived longer than most. But that is coming to an end. I think one of the major harbingers of collapse has always been the moral issue of homosexuality. And I think when homosexuality takes over society and becomes the majority of its people, that society is ripe for the judgments of the Lord and the retributions of the Lord. And I think that judgment is coming upon us. And unfortunately, the righteous end up suffering along with the wicked. But still, I hold out hope that the Lord will create small safe havens for people amidst even the most dire situations. And it's not something really that can totally be prepared in advance. But one must, of course, I think, be very open to understanding that inspiration sometimes come. If we look at how people survived World War II, we find that they felt impressed to go to a certain area where they found safety, or they met someone, or they met up with a group that was able to guide them to safety. There were so many miracles that occurred in the darkest days of World War II as the Lord tried to help sincere, righteous people get to safety. And that doesn't mean that all good people made it out. The Lord does allow the righteous to suffer along with the wicked. But I think that there are ways that are opened up. One of the ways to prepare for that, if I can go through somewhat of a general view, is first of all, you've got to prepare to survive the war itself. This is one of the things that few people prepared for, even in Europe, as it was coming upon them. People needed to have shelter from the bombs and explosives that would rain down from the sky. In this case, I believe we're going to see a nuclear attack on America by Russia and China, and I think it behooves people to have some type of fallout protection. It also behooves people to reestablish a home while they can in fairly good times in areas that won't be as subject to social unrest. If you're in the middle of major metropolitan areas, you're at risk. That social unrest from war, which even if it doesn't destroy a particular city, it will certainly stop economic commerce. There will be an electromagnetic pulse strike before a nuclear war, which will shut down all electrical power. That alone will cause absolute social chaos within any major city, because people simply do not, in a major city, have the power to become self-sufficient. Even good people, even people who don't want them, they are at risk of having to scrounge and, you know, for their daily living. And so it doesn't, you just simply cannot be in those large metropolitan areas when this type of thing happens. And that means either that you have a process whereby you can retreat to safe areas and you prepare a safe retreat, or at least as a minimum, when you can't afford that, that you have a network of friends and family in outlying areas, that you make plans, stage transportation, safety nets, so that you can get out of town in a proper manner, and don't try to get on the freeways if a person needs to get out. You have to go by the back roads, because the freeways will become parking lots in major crises like this. And then in the long term, it's my feeling that the Lord will inspire good people to coalesce to areas where there is more or less greater safety than others, where they can join together as a majority to not only protect themselves, but also to reestablish free government and practice the principles of self-reliance that I think we've been taught to do. Unfortunately, good people are spread out uniformly around the world and even among this nation, and we all feel somewhat alone. You know, we look at our neighbors, and almost all of our neighbors are simply establishment people that don't have a clue of what's going on. Every one of us is an island out there, seemingly alone, and that's one thing that must change. In this crisis, I believe, we must be prepared to start to coalesce into groups of people who are like-minded and who see what's going on and who refuse to be snookered again. We need a reorganization of life based upon not so much economic circumstances, but in the moral, religious, and preparedness circumstances that allow people to survive in a more self-sufficient way. And it takes, unfortunately, a crisis to drive us to that, because, frankly, very active in the survival community. I was one of the founders of the concept of survivalism and preparedness. I've written two or three books on the subject, such as Strategic Relocation, North American Guide to Safe Places, and Secure Home, so I'm really an expert in this. I have consulted with most of the major people who have projected to start survival communities in the United States, and I'll tell you, they all collapsed. None of them have survived, Dr. Stan, because survivalists are kind of independent-minded, and they just can't get together in rural areas and make a living. Sure. They just can't do it. And so I think people are going to have to form these by inspiration, by starting out with a network of people they trust, and then in desperation, because we won't have to be worrying so much about jobs, because jobs will be mostly gone. We'll be worried about real abject survival someday. And we'll have to start to energize those networks, start to coalesce for our own protection, and reestablish homes in safer areas where we can start anew. And I have a feeling that we'll be able to get a modicum of liberty in those communities, at least, as the evils of government lose control for a period of time during a war scenario, as they did in many regards. Unfortunately, in the aftermath of knitting together a society, this globalist New World Order will loom ever stronger and ever larger, and I fear that there will be an attack on people who believe in conspiracy. We will be called traitors someday, and they will hunt people and try to incarcerate those that are dissidents among them, and that's going to be the battle of the next war scenario, I believe.
Well, we're trying
to keep our freedom.
We're moving into difficult times. God bless. Thanks. We'll talk to you next week, Joel. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305. Or hbextract.com.
Worship and Warfare, Holy Places and In His Hands. Three praise and worship CDs now available through Voice of Many Waters Ministry. Call 1-800-205-6245 or check it out on the web, www.voiceofmanywaters.org. Each CD is $15 plus $3.50 shipping and handling. Call 1-800-205-6245 or www.voiceofmanywaters.org.
No state shall enter into any treaty, alliance, or confederation, grant letters of marque or reprisal, coin money, emit bills of credit, make anything but gold and silver coin a tender in payment of debts, pass any bill of attainder, ex post facto law, or law impairing the obligation of contracts, or grant any title of nobility. Article 1, Section 10.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the American Freedom Network, and I hope you enjoy our conversations with Joel. I always do. I think he's a very, very wise and certainly individual and a wonderful source of information. I consider him a good friend. Now, this is the time when I need to remind our listeners that my ministry is primarily listener-supported, and if you agree with our message that we're really involved in a spiritual battle being fought on a political and ideological battlefield, why, we do hope many of you will decide you're going to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters as we reach out across America 5 hours every day on outlets. And, of course, at least some people are out there listening and beginning to understand what it's about. If you read the literature that comes from the Luciferians, and yes, ladies and gentlemen, there really are people who are in touch with the other spiritual dimension, and who are, frankly, worship Lucifer. Many of these people are frankly, satanically possessed or demonically possessed. You'll find that they're telling us that this current economic crisis is going to usher in the emergence, they refer to it as the emergence of their leader, and that, of course, is Lucifer. And there is really an unholy trinity, the Satan, or Lucifer, the Antichrist, and the false prophet, as there is a, it is a mirror image of the Holy Trinity of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Understand, everything within this other dimension is a mirror image of the Christian message, which, of course, certainly confirms my long-held belief that Christianity is the true religion. Anyway, we do hope many of you will want to go to our website, get some of the material we have. Certainly, the four-tape set on the supernatural and the book that goes with that, written by Joanna Michelson, entitled The Beautiful Side of Evil, or get Joanna's talk. She gave it here at the recent conference there we had on the 26th of October, and all of those talks are available. You can get them individually, or you can get them all together. But I think Joanna Michelson's talk was excellent, and then, of course, her book really takes you into an understanding of the other dimension, because Joanna was a medium. And, of course, certainly we'll hope you want to get our four tapes out on Satanism, or satanic crimes, Satanism and deliverance. This is here. This is not imaginary. It is really very real. We're indeed involved in this spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization. If you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, you need to, or simply watch the DVD up on our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. You can go through our DVDs, but the Brotherhood of Darkness is very, very important. We hope that you'll get our talk on the Forbidden Secret. And there's a syllabus that goes with that. And then our talk on the planned police state, and then the syllabus goes with that, because we actually give you the writings from the people on the other side and tell you exactly what these people are saying lies ahead. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927, our webpage, RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com, and we certainly encourage you to lay in a supply of emergency food. If you'd like to know more about that, why we do have a price list. We work with Ready Reserve Food Products. I will be glad to send you a free price list, their catalog. If you'd like information on the health products that you need to have on hand, we'd be glad to send you one of our catalogs.
There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 6 through 9.
Now you can reach the American Freedom Network at our new P.O. Box, 1750 Johnstown, Colorado, 80534, or online at AmeriFree.com.